The Awakening of the Consciousness. Chapter 5. Awakening. The awakening of the consciousness is something we have to look at from two different but complementary points of view. The first point of view that we must consider when we want to awaken the consciousness is to comprehend that in humanity's journey throughout time on this planet, passing through the five root races, the free consciousness of the human being was bottled within the psychological aggregate, falling in sleep in a psychological prison formed by the ego and from where it cannot express itself. The Master Samael taught us in the last century that humanity has on average 3% of free consciousness and 97% of consciousness bottled or imprisoned in the ego. The Master Lakshmi explained to us that this 3% also contains an esoteric symbolism, since it corresponds to the three atoms of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the person, which cannot be imprisoned. As time has passed and we are getting closer and closer to the end of this fifth root race, the Aryan race, the situation, as we have already said, is getting each time more grave. Many years ago, a physical, esoteric, spiritual phenomenon began to take place, which consists of the fact that since almost all the people that make up this humanity are practically at the end of their cycle of 108 lives, since the number of existence of humanity advances in a group way, in what could be called an evolutionary wave, the people who at the moment live on this planet Earth have been losing all interest in the spiritual part, in the inner path, in the revolution of the consciousness. When this phenomena occurs and the internal being of the person realizes there is no longer any hope for the human part to respond to his call and travel the way back to achieve union with him, he simply withdraws from that person, withdrawing those three divine atoms from the interior of the person and breaking the connection with him, leaving the person without free consciousness, without free essence, converted into what the masters call a quaternary. The name quaternary, or empty house, as these cases are known in esotericism, comes from the four lunar bodies: mental, astral, etheric, and physical, from which the free essence has been withdrawn, and then the person remains empty, speaking in spiritual terms. As this humanity has already lost all interest in solar ideas, the beings, the intimates of an astonishingly large number of people on Earth, began to withdraw from these human parts that do not respond. The percentage of people who are in that situation at this moment on this planet is alarmingly high. Many believe and think that the great problems which our planet is going through in the physical part, such as climate problem, global warming, the greenhouse effect, the melting of the poles, environmental pollution, overpollution, the economic and social crises that are found everywhere, earthquakes, volcanoes, and a great number of imbalances are due to the fact that the human being does not respect the planet and pollutes it, polluting its rivers, seas, oceans, polluting the earth with agrochemicals, polluting the air with emissions of gases into the atmosphere through factories, industries, thermoelectric power plants, logging of all the planet's forests, extracting the oil, and many more. All this is true, but it is not the fundamental cause of planetary imbalance in all senses. The fundamental cause is the phenomena previously mentioned, that is, the withdrawal of the spiritual part from the interior of this humanity's human beings, since they have lost interest in solar ideas. When the spirit withdraws, as it cannot be otherwise, a physical imbalance begins taking place, the result of which is visible to the whole world, and little by little, it is progressing, preparing the environment for the end of this race. Since, if the great law would allow the human being to continue attacking the planet, it would destroy it completely. And that cannot be, since according to the law, Heptaparaparshinok, the law of seven, there still have to appear on our planet two more races. By way of synthesis, we can say that the spiritual imbalance of a race produces the physical imbalance of the planet. Complementing all these explanations, we must also say that when humanity distances itself from the values of God and allows the ego to reign over a civilization, the ego expressing itself in ever greater proportion in human behavior. The four elements of nature also become contaminated on a psychological level. They are charged with very heavy forces which the masters call Venonistrian energies. The element of earth is terribly contaminated with the inertia and laziness of 7 billion people. The element of water of the rivers, the seas, and the oceans, with the lust of an unrestrained mankind, perverse and degenerated to the maximum. The element of air of the atmosphere, with the evil thoughts of billions of people, and the element of fire, with the anger, violence, and passion of humanity. Faced with this aggression, Mother Nature exercises her right to defend herself, and then the elements of nature react violently through earthquakes, tidal waves, rains and floods, winds, hurricanes and tornadoes, and with volcanic eruptions in order to cleanse, slow down, and limit the aggression of man. The current situation of this planet is the result of the sleep of the consciousness, and the way to reverse all this is by awakening and by not collaborating with all these barbarities. So in summary, under the first point of view of awakening, the solution is to liberate the essence, the consciousness that is bottled, imprisoned by the ego. This is done through psychological death, or the first factor of the revolution of the consciousness, to which we have dedicated a whole book in our previous works. When the person begins an inner work, a spiritual work, in order to liberate the essence, the consciousness, he begins the work with the seminal pearl. The Master Samael defines the seminal pearl by saying, "The primal essence that is liberated at the beginning of the process of dying is unquestionably converted into the seminal pearl, that mathematical point of the consciousness cited by the Gospel of the Tao. This is how the mystery of the golden blossom begins." From a second point of view, in order for awakening to take place, it is not enough to liberate the consciousness. It must be used. It must be activated. It must be exercised. For it is not enough to have free consciousness. This free consciousness has to be exercised, and then can awakening be produced. Because if a person liberates consciousness, does not use it, it is as if he has a lot of money in a bank account, but does not know that he has it, or it has it blocked. Therefore, he cannot use it. Whoever wants to awaken must use the free consciousness. Awakening is exercising the free consciousness. In this last definition, the two points of view we have analyzed in this chapter are brought together. In order to be successful in this second point of view, that is, to exercise the consciousness that is liberated, two things are necessary. We need concrete techniques for the awakening of the consciousness and a conscious discipline. The techniques for awakening the consciousness are going to be studied, analyzed, and explained in detail in the next chapter, since they will allow us to have a discipline in order to awaken. As for the discipline, it is very important to clarify that the inner spiritual work in the esoteric work on ourselves, we need to apply a conscious discipline in order to be successful. And I emphasize the word conscious, because if it were not conscious, it would become something mechanical, managed by the ego, and nothing mechanical can lead a person to the awakening of the consciousness and to the intimate self-realization of the being. Discipline is generally needed for all areas of spiritual work, but there are three specific areas in which, if a conscious discipline is not applied, almost no concrete or permanent results can be obtained. These three areas are control of the mind, astral unfoldment, and awakening of the consciousness. If a person who wants to control the mind does not apply a concrete discipline of work in order to control thoughts and the mind itself, if he does not assign tasks to the mind, if he does not order it with the magical prayer of the second jewel of this yellow dragon. He will keep being a thinker all his life. The one who manages to control and dominate the mind thinks when he wants to. If a person wants to depart consciously to the astral, does not have a discipline to perform some practices at the moment he lies down to rest at night, he will never consciously depart to the astral. Many people say, "I never managed to go out to the astral." And the question we must ask is, do you perform the practices every night when your physical body goes to sleep? Or, at the very least, at that moment, do you say a small conscious prayer with all your heart and with much faith, asking of your being, your Divine Mother, and the Venerable Masters of the White Lodge to take you to the Temples of Mysteries of the astral world that night to receive the esoteric instructions that you need at that moment? If he does not do any of this, the person will never be able to consciously go to the astral world. And in the same way, if a person wants to awaken consciousness, he must make a work plan. He must use a set of certain concrete tools and structure a discipline which will allow him little by little to awaken. The work of the awakening of the consciousness cannot be something approximate. It must be a systematic, disciplined, and conscious work. Even if this seems paradoxical, for to begin with, we are going to base ourselves on the percentage of consciousness that is free. Awakening is realizing. An awakened person realizes things. And here comes another aspect of the awakening that is related to its results or consequence. As the physical structure of a person, his physical body is finite and therefore limited. The awakening of the consciousness expressed in the physical world allows us to awaken by areas. That is, we can and will awaken in those areas in which we pay attention. We could say then that a person is awake in certain areas, which are everything to which he pays attention, and is asleep in other areas, which are everything to which he does not pay attention. The consciousness is like a flashlight, which when turned on and directed to a certain place, illuminates and allows us to see. Wherever we focus our flashlight, our consciousness, we throw light and therefore are able to see, are able to awaken. We awaken by areas and sleep by areas. We could say that we are awake in relation to everything that we realize. And we could say that we are asleep in relation to everything we do not realize. The world is made up of infinite details, of innumerable elements, and since the physical body is finite, we cannot cover absolutely everything. That is why it is important to learn to manage the light of the consciousness and to focus on the areas in which it is really worth awakening. There may be certain aspects in which we decide to focus our consciousness that are not relevant or useful on our path of self-knowledge. We would be wasting the energetic capital that we have available for carrying out our work. There are things that are important to realize, and there are others that are not so important or that we could even ignore. We need to learn to manage and direct the light of our consciousness so that it is as useful as possible to us in our spiritual interest. In general, people have the false idea that the masters know everything, that they are continually reading people's thoughts, that they know what each person feels at all times, that they know the past, the present, and the future of each person with abundant details, that they know the previous lives, etc. But that cannot be so because if a master were to do that, first he would spend a gigantic amount of energy, and second, in case he didn't possess very developed spiritual faculties to do all that, he would waste all his time knowing everything about everyone. When, for some justifiable reason, a master needs to know something about a disciple or a person, he must focus his consciousness, his faculties, and spend some time, sometimes a quite large amount of time, on that person, in order to access the information he needs, either to help him or to guide him in different areas of his life or his mission. He never does this out of curiosity or as a game. Another aspect or consequence of awakening is that when this phenomena happens, the person learns how to be in the right place at the right time. At every moment of our lives, there is always a place that is the best to be in. Learning to recognize the right place at the right moment is one of the expressions of awakening. At this precise moment, all of us have the option given us by free will to be reading this book, or to be playing backgammon, or to be watching a movie, or to be doing thousands of other things. What is the most appropriate in this moment? An awakened man or an awakened woman knows. When the consciousness is totally liberated, it is converted into the golden embryo. Let's see what the Master Samael says about the golden embryo in his book, The Mystery of the Golden Blossom. Thus, the essence, in a progressive way, will be liberated as we destroy the eyes. In this way and in this manner, the seminal pearl will be developed with the increase of the different percentages of the essence in order to be converted into the golden embryo. It is unquestionable that the awakening of the consciousness becomes marvelous in the mystery of the golden blossom. The golden embryo confers us self-consciousness and transcendental objective knowledge. The golden embryo converts us into conscious citizens of the superior world.